placed in me by inviting me once again to share some thoughts with you from the Word of God. We do bring greetings to you from Grace Baptist Church in Monticello, Kentucky. We'd like to invite all of you that would desire to do so to come by Monticello sometime. You can't get there from here, but if you happen to be somewhere else and would like to come by there, we would like to see you, and we would like for you to see the great work of the Lord Jesus Christ in Monticello that you have a part in. And we'd be glad to have you in our homes or our services at any time. So you feel free to come by and see what great things the Lord is doing there and that you have a part in. I've never had enough time to preach, and I guess it's because I'm not educated enough, or that I don't know enough, but tonight I'm going to preach on the subject of time. And our subject matter this evening would be in the form of a question: what is the time, please, Brother Harvey? I'd like to invite your attention to the Word of God tonight. In the book of Ecclesiastes, that's on page 744 if you have a Nelson Bible. In chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible tells us that for everything that there is a season, and for every purpose there is a time under the heaven or on the earth. So the Almighty God has stated then that there is a time and there is a season for everything under the heaven, everything that goes on in the earth. Now I would like to call your attention to the book of Romans, chapter 13 and verse 11 for our text verse. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. The Apostle Paul, writing here under the inspiration of the Almighty God, he says, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe." In the passage of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1, we read that according to the Almighty God, that there is a time and a season for everything and purpose on the earth. And then in our text, Romans 13 and 11, the Holy Spirit of the Almighty God allows the Apostle Paul to warn the saved of God that they should wake up knowing the time. And in verse 12, he tells us the night is far spent and the day is at hand. This is very important. It's very important that the people of God not only listen to what God is saying, but how he says it. I'd like to explain something here, and you probably already, I know you already know this, but in the 13th chapter of the book of Romans, and in verse 12, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Almighty God, he goes on to say that the night is far spent. Now, what night is he talking about? And he says the day is at hand. Now, if God gives me grace, I would like to try to call to our mind something that we already know. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Bible says that God created a great light to rule the day, and that great light is called the sun. He says he created a lesser light to rule the night. And so the sun rules in the daytime, in the atmosphere, and the moon in the nighttime. Now if we study, and most people do at one time or another, we understand that the moon is a reflection of the sun. It is just a reflection of the sun. Now, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, will one day rule upon the earth. The kingdom of God is a two-aspect thing. It is presently today a spiritual reality with Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in the heart of His people. In the future, it will be a physical reality when Jesus Christ sits on the throne of David and rules for 1,000 years upon the earth. And the Bible talks about 1,000 years as a day with the Lord, one day as 1,000 years. So the Apostle Paul is talking about the nighttime then, being far spent, the day of the Lord is at hand. So the nighttime that he's talking about, today the Lord Jesus Christ is at the right hand side of the Father, interceding on the behalf of his people. Now, he left his church in the earth to rule and reign, and Christ rules and reigns in the heart of his people. Now, I don't believe in a universal church, and I'm not implying that. I'm talking about a local, visible church. To him be the glory in that. Now, so while the Lord Jesus Christ is at the right hand side of the Father, the church, or the moon is a reflection of the sun, the church is a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. I want you to hang on to that. Now the night is far spent. That is, that while the Lord Jesus Christ is away, the night time is upon us and it is almost over with. Alright? Now the church nor Christianity, neither the church nor Christianity, can rule with perfect rule. We cannot rule with perfect rule because Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning in the hearts of his people, and the subjects of the world are not subject to the Almighty God. The natural man knoweth not the things of God, neither is he subject to those things. What I mean by that, he is not under the control, he's not under the rule. Jesus rules and reigns his people. You understand what I'm saying? Not that God isn't sovereign over these people, it's just that they do not obey the rule of God. All right. Now, in the night, sin runs wild. In the daytime, when the Lord Jesus Christ rules upon the earth, he will rule with a rod of iron, and sin will not rule. Sin will not run wild. Now, one other observation by way of introduction. In our text of Romans chapter 13, verse 11, I want you to note the word knowing, K-N-O-W-I-N-G, or the phrase the Apostle Paul used, knowing the time. The English word knowing here translates the Greek word, and I'll give you the English spelling of it, O-I-D-A, which means to see or have seen or known. Or known. Actually, it probably takes its root from a Latin word that means science or knowledge. Science or knowledge. So the same word is used in several places in the New Testament, but I think that we should note just a couple of them to get the idea that is expressed by this word. This word, same Greek word, is used in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 9. Chapter 6 and verse 9, and we'll turn there very quickly. In this passage it says, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Now how do we know that? Well, we know that by faith, do we not? And because God said so. Now the Bible is packed plumb full of scientific information. Now scientific information means that it's been proven fact. And so we know Christ raised from the dead. The Bible records it. It was witnessed by 500 brethren at one time, and he will die no more. He will not die for the sins. All right, in Romans chapter 7 and verse 7, we find the same Greek word translated again. When the Apostle Paul writing, under the inspiration of the Almighty God, he said, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. So he uses a scientific term again, that we would not have known sin except the law. The law said you can't do that. The Bible said that we transgress that, that is sin, because whosoever transgresses the word of God hath committed sin. All right? So we see how then this word is used. So then here we are talking about knowledge, or we're talking about science. We're talking about some scientific proof, something that has been proven to be true and to be real. We are not talking in our message about inference, and we are not talking about speculation. Now, inference and speculation is nothing concrete. It is nothing pure. But the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, knowing the time. Knowing the time. It's high time to wake up. Now, in the study of sight, or the gathering of knowledge, there are two laws that apply. That is the first and the second law of thermodynamics. The first and second law of thermodynamics. I saw that big word in the dictionary. Had a lot of problems with it, but I know what it means. All right? Now, the first law, then, of thermodynamics is this. That there is now nothing being created or destroyed. God has not created any more oil. Although we're discovering deposits of oil, He is not creating any more deposits of coal, even though we're finding some. Now, coal can be changed in another form. When coal is burned, it turns to ashes, but it's still energy. All right? So, it's not being created, or it is not being destroyed. Now, the second law of thermodynamics is very important to the child of God, and that is that there is a universal tendency toward disorder and decay. Toward disorder and decay, and ultimately death. Now, man, when man is born, he comes from his mother's womb dying. Some men die young, some men die old, but they're dying. When God created the universe, everything was perfect and in order, and it gradually began to decay to disorder. Are you with me? I hope you are, because we're talking about true information here tonight. Now, I have brought this out that we might better understand the question of our title for this message, as well as the context. What is the time, please? Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 13 again. Romans chapter 13, and let's look at verses 11, 12, 13, and 14. He says, and that knowing the time, in other words, for a surety then, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So now then, to answer our title question, let us look into the Word of God, and we will see the time in which we live today is a time when the night is far spent and the dawn of the day of Christ our Lord is at hand. Beloved, I believe with all of my heart and soul that Jesus Christ could come tonight before this message is over. Before this service is dismissed, I don't believe that there is anything that has to come to pass or anything that would hinder the Lord from coming. So in our message, Lord willing, we want to see that the time today is, first of all, when we ask the question, what time is it, please? It is a time when the night of sin is deepening. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 60 and verse 2, and I don't know all the meaning of this verse. I readily admit that, but I want us to turn there in the book of Isaiah, chapter 60. And it talks about the darkness of night. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, I believe it is, and in verse 2, it says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, for the Lord shall rise up on thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. I want you to notice this, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. I believe that this day and time in which we are living, that it is a time when the night of sin is deepening. I don't mean to imply tonight that that man is any more depraved in 1989 than he has always been, because he is not. He is just depraved today as he's always been. But, beloved, the night of sin is deepening. We are in darkness today. And how dark it is. First of all, this darkness is brought about, at least in our country, and I believe universally, it is brought about by a famine in the land. And we're not talking about a famine of bread and water. In the book of Amos, on page 995, in Amos 8, verse 11 and 12, the Bible tells us that the Almighty God said, I will send a famine in the land, and not a famine of bread and water, but a famine of my word, thus saith the Lord. And today, the thing that is lacking in Christianity in general, and Baptist churches in particularly, is the unadulterated Word of God. We have a famine in the land. More Bibles are being sold today than any other time in the history of mankind, and yet there's a famine of the Word of God in the land. I want us to turn there just a moment to the book of Amos. Amos chapter 8 for just a moment. And I wanted to note something there, if you would please. And in the book of Amos, chapter 8, and in verses 11 and 12, he said, Behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but a hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wonder, look at this, they shall wonder from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. You know, Baptist people, in particular today, they get mad at this church. I'll go over here and I'll hear the word. They do not. I'll go out on the West Coast for a seminar and I'll hear the word, and they do not. I'll listen to this guy on television, I'll hear the word, and they do not. They hear begging for money. They hear all kinds of programs. They hear all kinds of funny stories. They hear all kinds of sad stories. But there's a famine today of the Word of God in our land. And that's why the night of darkness is like it is today. And the other reason why that the night of darkness is deepening today is because churches are turning from the truth. True churches of the Lord Jesus Christ even are turning from the truth. Turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy. Now, I know some good preacher brethren before me have touched on these verses, and I'm glad that they did, and so we can just skip over some of them as we go along. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul writing to young Timothy, his son in the faith, and he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come. Why is it important to preach the word? He said, because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. People get scared of that word doctrine. That means teaching. In the days of Jesus Christ, the teacher was referred to as a doctor, but called a doctor. And he said they're not going to endure sound teaching. He said, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. You know what they do? They get people in and they say, oh, you look wonderful. You are really eloquent. You are a great speaker. You seem to hold our attention so well. You know, the only problem I have at Monticello, not enough time. One woman went out the other day and she said, you did it again. And I said, what do you mean? It was 8 minutes after 12. She said, you starved us to death again. She was hungry. Next time she come back, I'm going to preach till 12:30. But what I'm saying is that folks don't want to listen to sound doctrine today. And if church members don't get it right, how in the world do you expect to be the salt and the light of the earth? Amen. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. And salt's lost its savor, where it's fit good for nothing, cast out and trodden on the foot of men. So we find people in New Testament churches going away from the truth. Churches are putting Christ out and the world in. They're trying to sing the gospel. I've heard some of you preacher brethren say you can't sing the gospel. The Bible says you sing praises to the Lord. You preach the gospel. We have churches going away from the truth, trying to put Jesus Christ out. They're trying to bring Roscoe the Rooster and Bozo the Clown and the Banana Split and all of the other things in the church. And as they do, they're putting Christ out. And then they try to preach from the book of Revelation, telling people that Jesus Christ is standing at their heart door knocking, and if you'll just open it up and let Him come in, He'll save you. And it's not even talking about saving a man. It's talking about the churches that have gone away from the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. There He is standing at the door of the church knocking, and said, if any man will bid me come in, I'll come in and sup with him, you see. And so we have people going away from the truth. We have Christians so-called today that there is no light, there is no testimony, none whatsoever. And I believe that we Baptist preachers and Baptist pastors and Baptist churches have watered things down. We want to see people in the church so bad, and we want to see people say that we have lowered the standards, and the standards are not ours to lower. They're in the Word of God. They're His standards. I don't have a right to compromise the Word of God. I don't have a right to deviate from the Word of God. I don't have a right to invite people to the Lord's table, because it's not my table, it's the Lord's table, don't you see? And so we've gotten away from these things. They will not endure sound doctrine. And this knot of sin that is deepening and getting worse all the time, men's hearts and thoughts are continuously evil. In the book of Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, I want us to see this. Just before Noah found grace in the eyes of God in Genesis chapter 6. I believe it's Genesis chapter 6 and at verse 5. It says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thought of his heart was only evil continually. This is the time it is today. This is the time it is in 1989. We look at the things around about us today. Let's look at the abortion in the United States alone today. We've got our priorities mixed up. We got people protesting. We got people marching, trying to get somebody's rights to have an abortion. It has never been somebody's right, according to the Word of God, to kill the innocent. It wasn't right in the Old Testament. It wasn't right in the New Testament. And it's not right in 1989. We don't hear anybody teaching these young ladies to abstain. We don't hear anybody teaching these young men to accept the responsibility. No, go do it because it feels good and get in trouble and then kill the baby. That's hogwash. That's against the Word of God. No wonder we're in the shape that we're in today in the United States. Not only abortion, but priority of men. Here today we spend billions of dollars, or millions of dollars anyway. I can't comprehend those big numbers. But we're spending all of this on sex education and abortion on demand, and then we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to save an eagle egg. How sad. How sad. Listen, folks, this is serious. What time is it? What time is it? Now listen. Listen. Not too long ago, there were some whales got caught in some water that up around Alaska somewhere that people thought they ought not have been there. How do they know that that was not God's way of thinning the whales out or whatever, or to feed some other animal? And here we go in there with chainsaws sawing holes in ice. We spend countless thousands of dollars trying to save three of them. I think they lost one of them. And they heap the praise of men upon them. And we got people on the streets of our city starving to death. How sad. How sad. Just about every day, we read in the newspaper where somebody has had a baby and placed it in the garbage can. In Floyd County, Kentucky, last week, there was a 17-year-old girl gave birth to a baby in a chicken house and stuffed the baby in a lard can, I believe it was. How sad. How sad. What time is it? It's a time when the night of sin is deepening and deepening and deepening. And that's the scientific proof, friend. The Bible is full of scientific information for us. Stuff that has been proven. Perverts today. We have all kinds of perverts. Not only sexual perverts, but we have all kinds of perverts today. Sexual and otherwise. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, the Almighty God described those people, and that's already been referred to in this conference already. We have all sorts of crime today. Our prisons are full and to overflow, and there are more prisons needed every day. Not too long ago, there was a criminal that was put to death in Florida. And justifiably so, for the crimes that he had committed. I forget how many that he killed. And people protested and protested and protested about this terrible thing that we had done to this man. And yet, they go out and kill the unborn baby. There's no law in our land today. Our police officers, their hands are tied. For any police officers in here tonight, or any law enforcement officers, my hat goes off to you. They are a people that that we have lost complete respect for, seem like, in the United States. And nobody ever wants to talk to one of them. They're just like undertakers. Nobody wants to talk to the police officers anymore until they need them. Do something for me. But the laws are so that they can't. They can't even protect the people anymore. They can't put people in jail to hold them. They can't put people in jail for suspicion. Not long ago, some police officers lied to get a search warrant. And I am not saying that they were justified in lying. But in the arrest of the people, one of the criminals killed one of the police officers. And the judge set the man free that murdered a police officer because someone else lied to get the warrant for him. How sad. So we're in a time when the night of sin is deepening. And secondly tonight, it is a time of false preachers and teachers. What time is it, please? It is a time of false preachers and false teachers. Turn with me in your Bible to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, 2nd Epistle of Peter. 2nd Epistle of Peter, chapter 2. And let's note together verses 1 through 3. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, I want you to know, friends, that this is not talking about lost people preaching the gospel. It's talking about saved people that are false prophets. How do I know they're saved people being false prophets? Because it said it denied the Lord that bought them, and Jesus Christ did not buy one person that he's going to lose. Am I right? Come on, brethren, you know I am. He did. By one person that he's going to lose. Not one. So these are people who are mommy called and daddy sent and not God called to preach or to teach the word of God. We have too much of this nonsense in our Baptist churches today as it is. We have the false preachers and the false teachers trying to expound the word of God when they have never been given the grace of God to deliver a message to start with. And I might be one of those. I don't know. I hope not. I believe God called me to preach. But I'll tell you this, beloved. We need to be preaching the truth. Now, if you want to know what a false prophet is, and a true prophet of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23 and verse 28, the Bible says, "The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. But he that hath my word, let him declare it faithfully. Thus saith the Lord." So there's the difference. I'll tell you what, friends. We have enough Jim Bakers and the likes. We have enough of the Jimmy Swaggers and the Oral Roberts. We have enough of this type of people today. False prophets and false teachers. And so the time that we're in is a time that when there are going to be more of them. And thirdly, what time is it, please? It is a time
as described in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy, and I believe Brother Clark preached on this last night, and some of the other brethren have quoted from this at least. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, "And this knowing also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covenant, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection," and so forth. And since that has already been read and expounded upon, we'll just mention it in passing and going on. But this is the time that we live in today. The traitors are among us today. Those people going away from the truth. And we have people today that are lovers of themselves. On down there, in verse 7, it says, "ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." We have this kind of people today that believe in education, education, education. I don't have anything against education, and none of us got what we paid for in education, and none of us have enough that we ought to have, and so I'm not against that. But there's some people in the ministry today that's going to school and going to school to get enough degrees to be called Mr. Fahrenheit, and they still can't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was invited to preach the other day in a place of learning, and I shall never do it again. But I was preaching on the will of God. And then after I was finished, a PhD told me, "Did you mean to tell me that you could preach a message like that, and then God called you up from Georgia and sent you to this place of learning, and you lacked 7 hours having a degree, and you're not going to go ahead and get that degree? You'll never preach until you get that degree." I've been pastoring churches over 10 years. God has been pleased to save many precious souls under my ministry. There is a church in Winchester, Kentucky today under my ministry by the grace of God. There's one in Ontario, California, praise God. And there's one in Monticello, Kentucky. And I'm still preaching, and I still haven't dried up. Some of you might want me to dry up. And I will when Brother Harvey starts. But the thing that I'm trying to say is that it's not the education that makes the preacher. It's the love of God that's shed abroad in her heart, that special calling and that special love that God gives a man to pastor a people, to pastor the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, I'm not going to finish that. I don't believe that 3 hours of Greek and 3 hours of world history will make a better pastor out of me. Now, somebody might disagree, and you're entitled to that. It's a time of scoffers. It's a time of scoffers. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 3, very quickly. 2 Peter, I believe it is chapter 3, and verse 3. It says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust." Now, I believe this word means that they will make fun. They'll say, "Everything's just the same. Where is the Lord Jesus Christ? You said he was coming back. He hadn't come back yet. You said this was coming, this coming, nothing done." But not only that, we have clowns in the pulpits of the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ today. We have people in the churches making fun. I had a man claim to be a Baptist preaching not long ago. He said, "You all ought to be ashamed preaching about hell." He said, "God's never going to throw somebody in hell." How sad. That's being a scoffer. Now these people on TV, they make funny jokes about preachers. They make funny jokes about the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, that is not bad enough, they make movies such as The Last Temptation of Christ. A slap in the face to the people of God. And then we have to have some of these so-called intelligent preachers that want to enhance the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, you can't enhance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." We don't need the puppets. We don't need the enhancement. Amen. We don't need people making fun of it. Amen. What we needed to do is to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, and God will save whom he pleases. Amen. Acts chapter 13 verse 48 tells in the Bible. It says, and as many, when they heard this, they rejoiced, and as many that was ordained unto eternal life believed. And I bet Paul didn't have a puppet nowhere in sight. Fifthly, it is a time that families are being destroyed. We're living in a day when families are being destroyed. Very quickly, in the book of Luke, chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 52 and following. It says, for from which therefore shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he said unto the people, when you see a cloud arise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? See, that's what Paul's saying. Baptist people tonight, saved people for the grace of God, it's time that we woke up. Our salvation is nearer today than when we believe. Now, what salvation is that talking about? Don't you believe in security of the believer? It's talking about this body being redeemed. My soul's already been redeemed. This body is going to shine in the resurrection glory. See? I'm going to be in my glorified body. So it's talking about that. But you see what I'm saying? Today is a day that everything is decayed right on down. When your family starts to decay, when there are divisions in the family, you have divisions in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God instituted a family before he did the church. I praise God for his church and I love his church. But one thing that we need to do, we need to wake up today and listen to what the Bible tells us and quit letting the sociologists and the psychologists and Dr. Spock and Dr. So-and-so and tell us how to raise our families. We have let society dictate to us. It is time that we learn some things. Today we have working mothers and non-working daddies. How sad. Every mother that works outside the home that can ought to go home. And if she did, we wouldn't have any unemployment problem today. You know what we do? We say, well, my young people get married today, they can't make it on one salary. Why, no, you can't drive two Cadillacs and a four-wheel drive and a boat and a four-wheeler on one salary. So you go to work to have more, and you work longer. Well, I got to send my children to a private education or Christian school. I'm not knocking Christian schools, but Christian schools don't make Christians out of them. The grace of God makes Christians out of them. And I'd rather a mother be home teaching that child sex education, and that daddy teaching that son sex education, than to let somebody else do it. But we want to send our children to daycare centers and let somebody else train them in morals and sex education and values. We've lost our sense of value. That's the time we're living in. I quit preaching going to meddling, huh? All right. But this is the time that we're living in. We have working mothers and non-working fathers. You know what daddies ought to do? Of course, we'd go to jail for it. But all of us daddies that's got sons that won't take care of their family, we ought to load the double-barrel shotguns with salt and stand right behind them, and every time they bend over, pump them one and put them out there on the job to take care of their families. Of course, they would send us away for abuse of some sort, I'm sure. We have families today. We have gotten away from the traditional family. God intended a traditional family to be one man, one woman, and children. And until death do us part. My wife said if she caught me doing what some men does, it would be death. And she'd be free. But we have people today, we have two homosexuals living together, adopting children, wanting to bring children up, and even taking them to church. God forbid! Two lesbians wanting to bring children up in the world. That's not the traditional family. This is the time that we're living in. We have many homes with single parents. In the United States of America today, there's over 16.5 million children living in single parent homes. How sad. How sad. I believe that in the coming year, in 1989, if I'm not mistaken, that it's going to be something like 6.5 million or more children below the teenage level that will become alcoholics. Why? Because our families are deteriorating. We're living in a family. You see, when I told you about the first and second law of thermodynamics, everything gets worse. Everything gets worse. And so the world is getting worse, and we're not going to save the world. Not going to save the world. All right. We have sex education in our school. We have drug education. We have the divorce laws and higher rates. We have divorce laws that are so easy now that people don't even have to go to court. Now, I got to move along. Now, the sixth thing is time that Christ could return. It's time that Christ could return. How do we know? In the book of Luke, chapter 17, it says, as it was in the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and they did not know that the flood comes until Noah and his family were gone. That's the way it is today. So the time is right for Christ to come back. That passage goes on and says, also as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. How was it in the days of Lot? Homosexuality and sodomy was being performed on the streets. The time is coming that people will go naked in the United States, and the acts of homosexuality and sodomy will be performed in our streets. Rest assured of it. Because now the sin is deepening, and the Lord is ready to come. All right. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, it says, and he that cometh will come and will not tarry. So don't have to have anything to come to pass for him to come. He'll come. And then, last but not least tonight, in the next few minutes, it's time to make things right. What time is it, please? It's time to make things right. First of all, let me speak to you that are saved. If you're here tonight, the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 5, says you are the salt of the earth. If the salt lost its savior's word, it's fit for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. You know what salt is? Salt is a preservative. In the mountains of eastern Kentucky, we never had a deep freeze. Didn't have a refrigerator until 1948. But we killed hogs every year, and we kept meat. From November election day, we kept meat all the way up into the next summer. See, you know how we did it? We preserved it with salt. My daddy would take those hams and shoulders and middlings out there on the bench in the smokehouse, and he would put down a bit of salt. He'd put them in it. He'd put salt all over them, and that salt would go in, and it would preserve it, a preservative. And the Bible said, we that are saved are the salt of the earth. Amen. We ought to be preserving Christianity and not tearing it down. You know the other benefit of salt? It makes one thirsty. You go out there and cut one of them old country hams, Brother Garner Smith, I'll tell you about this. And you eat that salty ham for supper and drink gallons of water all night. Make you thirsty. Jesus Christ is the living water, and we that are saved ought to be the salt to make the world thirsty for the water of life. Oh, how sad it is that we're living in a time when we don't even make the world thirsty for Jesus Christ. How sad. If you're here tonight and you're saved, and you're not living right, and you've got sin in your life, Jesus could come before this meeting is over. Today is the time. What time is it, please? It's time that we make things right. If you're here and you've got aught against a church member, make it right tonight. If you're here and you've got aught against a brother or a sister, make it right tonight. The Bible said if you bring your sacrifice to the altar and remember you have aught against your brother, leave your sacrifice there and go win thy brother and then come offer thy sacrifice. Daughters, you got things against your mommy. Mommy, you got things against your children. Daddy, you got things against your children. Children, got things against your daddy. Make it right tonight. Make it right. Husbands, you got something against your wife. Louie, I still love you, darling. Make it right now. Make it right. Tell your wife you love her. It won't hurt you. Tell her again how you love her. Huh? And wives ought to tell the husbands the same thing. Today is the day to make it right. Now, if you're here lost and you're lost tonight, it's time to make it right. How do we know that you ought to make it right? The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 17 that the Lord has commanded men everywhere to repent. And the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. And the Bible says that everyone that will call upon the name of the Lord, the saints shall be saved. Today is the day of salvation. You might not have it tomorrow. You may be here tonight and you say, I'm young, I've got plenty of time. If God lets you live tomorrow, go out there to the cemetery and look on those tombstones. There's just as many young people buried out there as there are old people. You don't have a promise of it tomorrow. Today is the only day that you have. If you're here saved, got sin in your life, get rid of it. If you're here lost, we invite you to repent and come to Jesus Christ. Today. What time is it? Time to make things right.